Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got Jim Traber coming up at 9:30. We'll see how his bracket is doing. Discuss all things tournament and all things outside of the NCAA tournament as well. Some news broke on a Friday in the NFL that is of concern for some people around here. We'll talk about that trade that Cleveland made, what's next for Baker Mayfield. And then also we'll recap what's happened so far in the NCAA tournament. Take a look at the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge standings and all kinds of other stuff about that NCAA tournament. It's been a wild one so far with still a couple of weekends left before we crown a national champion on Monday, April the 4th. So that's what we got planned. 225-9698 excuse me, is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the Paragon app. The app has all things the Paragon, with the radio stations, the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV. It's got Paragon TV. Everything you can possibly need right there at your fingertips inside the app. We've also got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and find us on KADSAM.com, or you can find that podcast also on iTunes. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
How's your bracket?
I brought that up here just to do that.
Why is your bracket so in the trash?
Well, Tennessee got me. That's a nice word I could use.
And SEC.
And then Auburn.
SEC.
Auburn last night didn't even show up. So there's that. I was really hoping the Big 12 and TCU could have pulled it out. That would have helped me out, because it would have knocked everyone else's champion out. Included.
No,
right?
No,
you
not
gotta
mine.
Give the Zags.
No,
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right.
That's why I tell you what, I hate to admit this, but for that exact reason, after Auburn went down, I was like, okay, Auburn's been a pick of some people. Tennessee was one. Purdue was the other. And I was like, come on, Texas. Oh, I don't think I've ever said that in my life, but I was thinking, come on, Horns. If the Horns can get this done, then that's gonna bolster what I've got. Because, you know, Dylan's been killing everybody from the very beginning.
Yeah.
But his champion is Purdue.
Right. So, yeah.
You know, and yeah. So I know a bunch of people have him in the Final Four. And I was just thinking, man, I can't believe I'm saying this, but come on, Texas. And then wasn't enough. Of course.
I couldn't go that extreme.
Well, you know, it's I kind of did. I wasn't openly rooting for them, but it did cross my mind of, all right, Texas, let's do this. It's hard to win a game when you shoot 40, or the other team shoots 46 free throws and you shoot 10.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a tough, that's always going to be a hard one to win.
Yeah.
If you were the Longhorns. But so far, as I said, Dylan way out ahead, and his max is way out ahead. So he must, let's click on here. I'm assuming he still has all four Final Four teams available that he picked because of what he had. Possible, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nope, he doesn't. He had Wisconsin in the Final Four, just like I did.
Yeah.
So he's down there. He's probably one of the only people in the country that had Michigan playing Villanova.
Yeah, probably. A lot of people.
You think anybody?
That.
You think anybody has Iowa State playing Miami?
Maybe some Iowa State fans. Maybe some Miami fans. But outside of those two fan bases, not a lot. Probably not a lot.
What has caught your eye? What's been the fun part of the tournament so far for you?
Clearly, the patron St. Peter's, the St. Peter Penguins. St. Peter Peacocks. Thank you. Those guys, right? That's the story. Every year we get a team like this, a school like this. It comes out of nowhere and puts on this incredible run. That's them. So that's the team everyone's kind of latching on to. And it's a fun story. It's always a fun ride. So that's clearly the thing that stood out to me. How about you?
Yeah, there's obviously that. I just think that when I looked at that bracket, and it's bared out about the way that maybe not the teams at the bottom, but when you saw the top, you know, when I say top, I'm looking on the bracket challenge, mm-hmm. and it was Gonzaga's regional and it was Arizona's regional. And those felt like they were going to be the chalkiest ones, and they have been. You know, the top four seeds made it into the Sweet 16 in the West with Gonzaga and Arkansas playing, and then Texas Tech and Duke. And then, you know, to me, Houston felt like the four seed. So that really wasn't even an upset in my mind, even though it was seeding wise over Illinois. And then the only one that kind of threw a fly in the ointment was Michigan. But then you look down at the bottom, and it's like, whoa, bunch of weird numbers there. You know, a 15 into the Sweet 16 for the second straight year. Number one, the only number one seed that got beat was in the East. Men over in the Midwest is where you've got Kansas and Providence, both chalk, and then down at the bottom, it's an 11 versus a 10 to get to the Elite Eight. You know, and those are the two that I changed my picks on over and over. I mean, I think in that Midwest bracket, I had four different teams going to the Final Four at one point. I had Kansas. No, I had three. I had Kansas, Auburn, Wisconsin. All at one different time going to – I just couldn't figure it out. And now, man, talk about the team that probably had the best weekend. It's got to be KU, right? When you look at what's next.
Yeah.
It's got to be them. You know, I think you can make a case Purdue's pretty lucky too. But – that St. Peter's team, I mean, maybe the two teams that have played the best so far are in that bracket with St. Peter's and with North Carolina.
Yeah, I'd agree there. Continuing the conversation of what stood out, the best game, and I think I said this yesterday, it was everything I expected it to be, was last night's Duke, or yesterday afternoon's Duke, Michigan State game, right?
I think it was the best played game.
Yeah, it exactly. Mm-hmm. Best played game. It the back and forths, the lead changes, the two great coaches. Yeah, that one I made a point at 4:15 to sit down and watch it, and I did, and I got exactly what I thought I'd get. Yeah, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was funny because that one happened, and then, you know, at halftime of that game, Iowa State, Wisconsin starts. So you're watching Michigan State and Duke, and it's high level. It's athletes. It's scoring. It's everything that other one was. It's like they weren't even playing the same sport when you had to flip it over and watch Iowa State and Wisconsin. It's like, oh, my God, are they playing the same game?
Right.
It doesn't look like it at all. It looks like a totally different sport that the Cyclones and Badgers are playing. I know I'm surprised. I thought just Tech and KU would be in the Sweet 16. So Iowa State being there is a big surprise to me. I really wasn't sure how they were going to win the first game, even though LSU had all those problems. But the Cyclones and the Big 12 as a whole, you know, Texas gave Purdue everything they wanted. Obviously, TCU did the same thing to Arizona last night. Probably should have won that game at the end of the day. And the one team that was vulnerable, the least that I thought was Baylor. And it's not really their fault because they were hurt. So – what I'm saying is, you know, the question was, okay, is the Big 12 really
– how have we not talked about
really
that game
good?
Yet, by the way.
Yeah, is it really good and just beat each other up? Or is it just kind of a bunch of teams that are similar and nobody's – I think the proof is the Big 12 was really good.
I agree. Very tough. You know, they're just but the way they won that first round – did you see that stat yesterday – or Saturday night? It was kind of cool. It was a cool stat because I watched the OU women, and they won. It was the first time, I think, ever that the Big 12 or a conference went undefeated in the opening round, both men and women.
So I know
it was
that,
like 16-0.
Yeah, it was 6-0 for the men, and they won the games by an average of 18, and they covered by an average of like 14.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
It was totally dominant.
Yeah, that first round for the Big 12, I thought, boy, it might – be the Big 12 and the rest of the world living, you know, in this tournament. But But man, but you're right. The Baylor North Carolina game, you know, Baylor's just hurt. But man, that game, I don't know, we haven't brought that up first. That's the thing, man. That game, I was, I didn't watch the beginning of it. Then I saw the score when North Carolina was up huge. And then my phone started blowing up when Brady Manick went out. And then I turned it on and paid more attention to it when I sat down to eat lunch. And man, that game was a knockdown, drag-out fight, wasn't it? It seemed so physical. So physical. That was a fun game.
Which normally plays right into the hands and
right
probably
in the hands of Baylor,
right into the, the hands of any Big 12 team there is. Because,
right.
You know, there was a lot of that talk on the social medias by different people's fan bases. And it's like, how do you adjust? Because night in, night out, during the Big 12 season, it is a fist fight. I mean, it's like no blood, no foul. And now you get into the tournament games with different referees from different conferences. You know, I think that's a big reason what happened to Texas. They couldn't adjust on the fly to the way the game was being officiated. Heck, in the second half, they had Purdue in the double bonus with like 14 minutes left. You know, and
yeah.
you can't put yourself in that position. I thought Iowa State did a whale of a job in the second half of adjusting to the way the game was called, because they were in that shape in the first half against Wisconsin where it was just foul, 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 and they did a really nice job of backing away just a little bit and not you know, and not continuing to put the Badgers on the free throw line. Texas just never did get all the way adjusted. A big part of that was, you know, down low there was, you know, a problem defensively against those two big dudes from Purdue with Edie and also Travion Williams. But, you know, that was, you know, I'm sure in Austin right now there's a lot of, you know, whining about what happened. I mean, there wasn't a whole bunch of those that weren't fouls. You just got to quit. I mean, but
right.
That's not in their DNA, right? I mean, that's just the way that, you know, it shows you what's allowed on a night-in, night-out basis in the Big 12 versus everything else, because there wasn't any adjustment by the Horns. But, you know, it's been a fun tournament. There's been some really high-level, really well-played games.
Real quick on being physical and Big 12 stuff, that's what cost – the lack of cost TCU in that overtime. Am I right?
Man, they just couldn't get a defensive rebound.
Get a rebound.
Yeah.
Block out is like every time it looked like, no offense to my kids who are probably not listening, but their parents are, it looked like a bunch of third graders standing around on a shot.
They were just the one
and
dude.
All you had to do was get a rebound.
Number four was blocking. What's his, the guy that had the great game down low for him. He was blocking one guy out, and everybody else was standing around. You know, on the game ceiling dunk. He had his guy blocked out.
No
two guys were standing there watching.
Standing around.
And
drove me nuts.
You know, on the big and one play was that way.
Same
Arizona
way?
Got four shots. Let's talk about the way that game ended in regulation. Foul, no foul at the half line.
Yeah. I don't know. They didn't really focus on that. They just focused on, did he make the shot in time? And obviously he didn't. I don't know. I think it was a good no call. Because I'm basing this straight off of memory. It was late at night and I was about half asleep. I think it was a good no call because he was trying to initiate the contact too.
Yeah, and there's
you know,
nothing.
And they were trying to guard him straight up right there at midcourt to get possibly an over and back or turnover. And I think he realized he was out of options and he was trying to draw that contact. And in that late in the game, I'm assuming they were both in the bonus.
Oh yeah.
The officials were like, "We're not going to do this. We're not going to blow the whistle and give a win to either team." You know, so I think it was a good no call.
Yeah, I mean,
to me,
having said that,
it was mutual contact being given. If that makes sense.
I kind of agree, but I'm glad it worked out the way it did.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a horrific way to lose.
Yes. Yes.
If Arizona would have got, because it was essentially not blowing the whistle was giving the team a win, and Terry just wasn't paying enough attention to lay it in instead of dunk it.
Try the dunk and be a hero.
Yeah. Well, he just took off. He was trying to go fast and take off. It just
right.
He was a split second too late.
Is there not a clock right above the bill or the backboard?
There is, but I just
know,
don't.
I mean, how do you not?
In that moment,
as soon as you grab the ball, look up at. You know, I know he's looking at the goal. slightly lean your head up just a little bit and look at the clock and go, oh, I can't dunk this. I got to roll it in or lay it up.
Just let it go.
You just let it go. Yeah.
But I'm glad it didn't end that way. I'm glad he was late. Because that would have been an excruciating way for TCU to lose. Oh, yeah. Because they thought there should have been a foul. I mean, not blowing the whistle or blowing the whistle. Both ways, it's ending the game if Terry was just a little bit quicker. So I'm glad he wasn't. Gave TCU a chance in overtime. And they were just unable, like you said, blocking out. Man, the last 2 minutes of that overtime session was just it was brutal for the Horned Frogs on the defensive rebounding aspect of it. And that's what – you know, once again, you see, and we harp on this at the high school level, and it turns out to be true at the college level and even at the pro level. Blocking out and making free throws, it's the two. Yeah, no matter what else you can do.
Ask Kentucky, ask TCU. Make your free throws, Kentucky, and you win.
Kentucky's up 8 with 2 minutes to go and lost.
They had free throws.
Do you give St. Peter's a chance?
Sure I do. Yeah. I mean, they've won 2 in a row. They now they're like, whoa, we could play with the big boys. We deserve to be here. We're in the Sweet 16. I think that's the big thing when you see these Cinderella runs. It's not so much getting or playing in a Sweet 16 game or Elite 8 or even Final Four. It's getting past that first game, then the second game. You know, you win that first game. Pull off the upset. Well, sorry about your luck. Now you got a higher seed to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and they, you know, so those first two games, I think in a weird way, have more pressure on teams like this. And now that they've won those two games, like, oh, what? We deserve to be here. We're one of the best 16 teams left.
So they can run offense, man.
Yeah.
They can run offense.
And I think they got a chance, but because of for whatever's left of my bracket, I'm picking Purdue. I need them to win. But I, you know, again, it's America's team right now, is St. Peter's, and everyone's gonna. It wouldn't break my heart if they did win. But yeah, they got a chance. I don't think it's gonna be out of all the matchups, everyone's gonna look at it and go, oh, that's gonna be the blowout. I don't think so. I think they'll have a fighter's chance in this one.
Which game are you looking forward to the most?
I am probably it has to be North Carolina UCLA. For me, because I got UCLA going deep, but North Carolina look fun. You talk about athletic, they look athletic, they look fun. Close runner up will probably be Texas Tech and Duke, and maybe Gonzaga Arkansas, with the way Gonzaga had to claw their way back against Memphis and win. I think that gives Arkansas a chance. In fact, I picked this matchup, and I pick Arkansas to win it, so I'm going to be highly interested in that one.
Yeah, it's just going to be another one you're wrong about. I like that one.
I was ready for that. I was ready. I had them all ready to go for you.
Yeah.
And then yesterday happened. So
yeah, you're ahead of me in the deal, but it doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look like it's going to last, though.
Now, that would be a big one for the folks that had, say, Tennessee or Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzaga losing last night would have been huge, too.
Yep.
Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you're getting to the point of everybody's gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Folks that pick Kansas are looking pretty good right
now. But I think what we're seeing here is what we've seen all year long. The parity in college basketball this year. There's no clear favorite.
Yeah, I think there is. I think there's two of them.
Well, listen, Arizona with the overtime.
They won.
Gonzaga won by 4.
All you got to do is win.
I get that.
All you got to do is win.
I get that. But sometimes those clear favorites, they don't have problems here. And they both.
I would be very scared.
It gives everybody hope.
Yeah, but
that they can beat these. Houston has a great chance against.
No, they
Arizona.
Don't. I'm telling you right now. That was the games they should. That watch out. You may see buzzsaws this week. Because how many times do we see it when those favorites, the number one seeds, get a scare in the second round, and you don't knock them off, then look out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's like the chance to get them. And when the team, whoever that team is, doesn't. A lot of times it's like, uh-oh, here they come.
Yep.
But we'll see. Dakota is the one villain in the entire bracket challenge that picked Duke to win it. I'm going to say nobody else wants that to happen. How sickening is it to watch their games? I'm serious. The whole family down there, somebody get his wife, get the mask off his wife. Come on, man. Why are the cheerleaders wearing masks? And nobody else in the gym is, except for the first row of media people that probably want it on anyway. Let's look at that Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge.
Nah.
Let's look at it. You're still up toward the top.
Yeah, it's false hope is what it is.
Right now it is.
Yeah.
Depending on what else happens.
I mean, I got a root for, who'd I say? I got a root for Arkansas. For me, personally, I picked Arkansas. I think that would be a big coup for me.
Houston.
I picked Houston to win.
To beat Arizona?
Yep.
Yeah, those are the two you have to have. Because...
when is that? The 24th. That is happening.
Those are both on Thursday.
Thursday.
Those are the games you have to have happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Purdue losing.
Tell you what, if those two win on Thursday, then we are celebrating for other reasons on Friday. Yeah, I would be a happy guy on Friday.
Dylan's ahead. He's in the 100th percentile.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty good.
Of the entire ESPN bracket. He's got Purdue winning.
It's pretty good.
That's why that Texas game would have been so huge for all of us last night to get Purdue out of there. But Mark, the Duke Tiger fan, he can still get over 1,600. He's also got Purdue winning it all. Those are the only two that can be over 1,600. Then there's a bunch at 1,500. What's weird about this whole game is you look down at the very bottom, 43rd out of, 49, and you find Dakota. But he's still 1,560 possible points.
Yeah. That's the number you look at.
So he's like third.
Exactly. That's the number I look at.
There's two of those. Doc is there, too. At 1,560. You're down at 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo.
I'm at 1,450. If I just wouldn't have listened to Coach Hunt, if I would have just ignored.
Did you drink the blue Kool-Aid?
If I would have just ignored Coach Hunt like I knew I should have because he made the caveat of, oh, yeah, I picked him to win it all like I do every year and kept and stayed with Purdue, I'd be right up there. In the tall cotton, too. But no, I fell for it. I fell for the John Calipari. Oh, well.
I love the Calipari and Lincoln Riley comparisons. I thought that was kind of funny.
Have you seen any of the lines yet?
For the Sweet 16 game?
Yes.
No, I have not.
Who do you think is the biggest favorite?
I would guess the biggest favorite's going to be... probably Purdue, St. Peter's.
Purdue.
Yeah.
It is
my
Purdue.
Next would be probably KU over Providence.
Actually not.
Really?
This one's pretty surprising.
So Purdue is what's the spread there?
Purdue is a 12.5 point favorite.
Yeah, that's about right.
The next highest favorite?
Tell me the spread first.
9.
Is it Villanova in Michigan?
No.
Houston Zona?
No.
Arizona?
No.
Okay, who is it?
Gonzaga.
Really?
Gonzaga is a 9-point favorite over Arkansas. I got news for you. I think I would take the Hogs and the 9.
Right. I don't know why I'm high on Arkansas, but this is the game I've circled way before this tournament started, that this is the matchup I foresaw, and it's happening. Of course, going by chalk, you know.
Did they play?
No, I don't believe so. This season or this year?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No, Gonzaga played Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, I'll have to call our man Paul Joseph. How is it? Sue Piggy? Sue Wee? What is it? What's the battle cry?
Oh, Pig Suey.
Oh, Pig Suey.
Oh, Pig Suey. No, they did not. It was Alabama. Alabama beat Gonzaga.
They did?
Mm-hmm. Maybe, so did Duke.
Maybe the old SEC thing is a thing.
So did Duke. Speaking of the SEC, what a flop.
Yeah.
They get one?
One in there.
Arkansas? What a flop.
Yep. UCLA coming on strong? You like them?
No. Heck no. I like North Carolina. I told you that.
Yeah, I know.
I told you after the Baylor, even last week, man, I wish I'd have picked them to make the Final Four.
North Carolina?
Yes.
Really?
I really do. If I could make one change of teams that I still have left, obviously you can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be that. But how many times, though, do you see that first weekend teams play awesome, and then you think, oh, yeah, they're rolling, kind of like the week before when the teams are winning conference tournaments and they can't carry it. They can't keep on going. Somehow, for some reason, that weird thing that you like to refer to as momentum, it doesn't get on the plane. I don't know why it doesn't go with them.
Momentum is a in-the-game thing for me. It's not – you can't pack it in a suitcase. It stays on the court.
Well, if there – it needs to jump a ride in Brady Manick's hair and his headband. Joined now by the voice you'll hear right here on these airwaves at 2 o'clock. It's the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you, man?
I am good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Just hopefully anticipating some rain coming at some point. That way a lot of the fire stuff that's been going on with the what's supposed to blow 50 tomorrow. So hopefully it rains and it'll help out any of that that could be coming on tomorrow. How is your bracket?
You know what? It's not bad. I've got 10 of 16, which I think is pretty good when you consider all these upsets. I had some really good games, but the daggone team that I had doing it didn't come through. You know, like I had Baylor getting beat. I just didn't have them getting beat by North Carolina. I had them getting beat in this past round. And then who else did I have getting beat? I had some other teams getting beat. I'll have to look at my bracket. But I know that I had KU winning that bracket. So basically all four of my final four teams are still available. And let me look here. Who else did I have getting? Oh, yeah, I had Kentucky getting beat in the second round. They got beat in the first. I had Auburn getting beat by USC, so that didn't help me. So I had upsets picked. In the upper right, the south, I'm perfect. Of course, I do think it might be 1, 2, 3, 4, too, so it's not like I went on some big limb. No, Tennessee was a 5. But anyway, yeah, it's going pretty good. I still got Gonzaga, UCLA, Kansas, and Arizona. But, man, just great games, huh? I mean, there's just so many teams that can just play that are really similar to each other, really. And it's just it was some great basketball. Now, some of the basketball was horrible, as usual, but most of it was much better than we get to watch from game to game in the Big 12.
Yeah, it was a stark contrast going from Duke, Michigan State, that was really high level offensively, and then having to flip it over to see Iowa State and Wisconsin barely be able to dribble it across the half court line.
Yeah, you're right. And that defense that Texas Tech plays, I mean, that is some serious defense. Notre Dame, Mike Bray, when they were interviewing him at halftime, he had like his eyes were like, yeah, they're this defense, like they never see stuff like that, you know. So how many guys, either one of you guys got anything good?
10. I've got 10 in the Sweet 16, 3 of 4. I know, 2 of 4. I'm sorry. I've just got Arizona and Gonzaga left because I had Kentucky and Wisconsin. I changed those bottom two. I think I had Kansas at one point. I had Auburn at one point, and I settled with Wisconsin. And then in the bottom one, I just had Kentucky. I listened to my high school golf coach. He's a Kentucky fan. I shouldn't have. I knew better, Jim.
Yeah.
I knew better.
Shouldn't listen to anybody but yourself, big boy.
Jared's hurting about as bad as I am at worst, though, since champion got knocked out.
Who's that?
Auburn. I went on a limb. And I had Tennessee in the Final Four. So my bracket's tore up and thrown in the corner over here in the studio.
I understand. Well, I got seven of eight left for the Elite Eight. So the only one I don't have any Elite Eight that's still alive is Wisconsin. That was just ridiculous. I was really hoping that LSU would play them because I think they beat LSU, but Iowa State's just so ugly. Iowa State is really an amazing story, though, guys. You know, they really are. 2-22 last year, and they come back and they're in the Sweet 16. It's pretty amazing.
Are you Big 12 wise about what you thought? More teams in the Sweet 16, less? I feel like, at least for me, the Big 12 has been stronger. I mean, even in losses, you know, TCU had Arizona all the way down to the wire and probably should have won the game. Texas was right there with the last couple of minutes against Purdue, even though that free throw discrepancy was so large. And then, you know, Baylor was hurt. I think Baylor, of all the Big 12 teams, kind of got the short end because they just weren't healthy. And I think I had North Carolina beating them, and I think I heard a lot of other people kind of thought that too, just because of their health. I thought the Big 12 has performed nicely so far.
Yeah, I mean, what they got? They got Tech in Kansas and Iowa State left. That's not bad. Iowa State, obviously, the surprise team to be there. So it's been okay. I mean, I still don't like watching the league very much, but they got it done. There were a couple of the other teams played okay. And you're right that, you know, in the loss they played better than maybe you thought. But I still wish we didn't have to watch this league. Just kind of ugly. But yep, I think Kansas got a really good chance, fellas. Kansas is one of the really solid teams in the league. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be cheering on Texas Tech against Duke because I'm so ready for Krzyzewski to be gone.
I thought we had it yesterday with 5 minutes left and Michigan stayed up five, and then they just kind of disintegrated and Duke started blocking every shot.
Yeah, they blew it. They definitely blew it. So,
with Arizona going to overtime with TCU, Gonzaga, they had to come back to beat Memphis. In other games throughout this tournament that we've seen so far, we've seen it all season long, kind of have an opinion like this, that there's a lot of parity. There's not a clear front winner or a leader or favorite, that is. Is that fair to say, or is it still Gonzaga and Arizona on a collision course here?
Oh, I mean, I think KU's up there with them. We'll see about Duke. I mean, Duke is – they're really talented. Them big dudes up front are really good. What I think is great is that these teams that are the supposed favorites, you know, when they play a tough game like they have, you know, is it going to be good for them or is it going to be bad for them? I mean, we never really know. I mean, they could really use that for some experience, or maybe they're just not as good as we thought, you know? So I think that, I think that there's probably still, if I look at these 16 teams, there's probably still five or six of them I think that could win the whole thing. I'm not sold on a couple, but I think that, St. Peter's is a great story, but I don't think they're winning the national championship. And I don't think that Miami's winning the national championship, but I think KU and Arizona, maybe Villanova. I just think it's going to be really hard for a couple of these other teams. Gonzaga definitely could. Duke could. UCLA might be able to. Maybe Purdue. But I think the best teams are going to still get there. I really do. I mean, Gonzaga and Duke is just going to be an incredible matchup, you know, if we get to see that.
Yeah, and that was a great game earlier this season. The Duke ended up winning 84-81. Does, kind of with the tournament in mind, but also looking forward to the draft, does Jabari Smith's performance yesterday give you any doubt if the Thunder were able to find a way to be the number one pick, that he's the guy?
Yeah, zero. Take him. He's unbelievable. I'm not going to judge anybody on one game. That's just so unfair. If you watch him play during the year, he's a stud. He can go in and out. He would be the perfect guy for the Thunder to get. And I think he's probably going to go number one. And if he does go number one, then obviously the Thunder are going to have to get lucky. But they did do a tremendous job by losing Orlando last night, so they at least have a chance to move up. So, I still love the kid. I really do. I love him. And I think the Banchero kid is unbelievable too now. I mean, I think he's a tremendous player. And then Holmgren is really interesting. I've never seen a guy that's going to get drafted that high that I think is still a little bit of a project. But he's a great shot blocker, and he's got some moves, and he can shoot the ball. So I still think he needs to get stronger. But, yeah, he's really good too. So I think the top of this draft, if you can get one of those top three, I think you're in good shape. And then I'll tell you this, fellas. I was thinking about this. If I don't know where that Goloko kid's going to go, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. For Arizona. But if the Thunder were to drop to 4 or 5, if they could get, like, the Ivy kid from Purdue and then also get, like, Coloco down there in the, with the Clippers pick, that to me would be a big league draft. Now, I don't know, maybe he's going to move up in the draft, That kid, I think that kid's really good, man. He can block shots. He's smooth. He plays the game right. Big man. So, you know, if you could do something like that, if you could get like an Ivy and a Coloco together, then that'd be a great draft.
Yeah, that's, I was thinking about that. Mark Williams in that same spot from Duke, the big guy.
Yeah.
You know, and with Ivy, because, man, Ivy looks to me maybe even more athletic than SGA, but they seem really similar as far as the way they want to play the game and what their attributes are.
Seems like he might be a better shooter than Gilgeous Alexander, but, yeah, look, I don't want another guard if I'm the Thunder. But if you happen to drop down, well, then I just think that Ivy kid's really good. Then you can trade the word, or you can do something like that if you need to. And then if you could get a big man. But they have to get some semblance of a big man, don't they? I mean, they just have to. They have nothing on their squad. So they got to get they got to draft a big man in this draft, I would think. And I think, I'm telling you, I think that it's over. I think the tanking will be over with going into next year. I really do.
What was your first initial reaction to the Watson to Cleveland news?
I think it's pretty incredible that you sign a new contract, you get paid while you sit out, you're accused of all these things, now you're going to have civil cases, and then a team comes along and says, hey, forget that contract, we'll give you an even bigger contract. I just think that's really sad. I wish that someone would stick up for principle. I don't ever want to hear the NFL start fighting like for women and stuff like that. They don't believe a word of it. Let's see what Goodell does. I mean, if he suspends him, which he should definitely be suspended, I think at least 6 games, then maybe they're caring a little bit. But it's just shocking to me that the biggest contract in the entire game, in the history of the game, is going to a dude that's accused of, like, molesting or whatever you want to call it, 22 women. I mean, that's just crazy to me. So if he's not guilty, then so be it. He should be able to do and live his life. If he's guilty, he should be in prison. So it's kind of a crazy deal. But it doesn't surprise me that the Browns are the ones that are doing it, because the Browns are the worst organization you'll ever see, and they're incredibly desperate. You know, everybody thought that last year they were going to be this great team. By the way, was there anybody who thought they weren't going to? Oh, that's right, it was me. Excuse me. And now they're not sold on their quarterback. You know, they don't think he's the answer. And so now they go out and make this historical move, and really don't care what the guy's done. You know, I mean, what's going to happen if he's found guilty in like a lot of these civil cases? They're just going to let him keep going? Okay, well, good. Sounds like you did this, but come and play football, man. We're trying to win. So I don't like the way it looks, personally. But if he didn't do it, so be it. But I think we all agree. I said this on the radio the other day. Let's just half of them are lying, okay? If half of them are lying, then there's 11. Is that okay with people? It's crazy.
Yeah, the difference between the criminal, that's the first thing the defending of this move is. Well, the grand jury didn't choose to charge. Well, we all know that there's a lot of different ways that comes about, and how that this could happen. I mean, Kareem Hunt's already on that team. We've seen with our own eyes what he did to women, and now you've got Deshaun Watson being the face of the franchise. I think you hit the nail right on the head with the word you said. It's desperate. The Cleveland Browns are desperate for a winner, and they're willing to look the other way no matter what you've done.
Now, I don't want to bring up sore subjects, but your Dallas Cowboys have done this many times.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's just a shame that they won't put their daggone foot down in these teams and go, no, we're not gonna do it. But whatever. I mean, obviously, when I start talking about this stuff, it's not going to happen because the people care more about winning. There's too much money involved. But that makes the Browns better. There's no doubt. I mean, I know you pathetic Baker Mayfield fans out there don't like to hear this, but he's a lot better than Baker Mayfield. A lot better. And so, yeah, that's going to – I mean, if he plays and they're healthy, they're going to be a really good team. That division's tough. And, by the way, I do like Trubisky. Just letting you all know. And I said – I told everybody before the Steelers got him, so –
What about Baker? Where do you think he's going to go, and which situation would be the best one for him?
Well, first of all, I really wish we could get the real story on this because, you know, after Chris Mortensen came out and said that they want an adult, don't you think that there's other teams in the league that know that he's not an adult? I mean, seriously. I mean, but the Cleveland Browns, if they're really saying that, and obviously they are, Chris Mortensen wouldn't make that up. There's got to be other teams that think, gosh, I don't know if we want this guy if he's not an adult. So that being said, the best thing for him is Indianapolis. I mean, I don't think he's even close. They're a good team. I frankly think that him and Wentz are, you know, if you said to me, which one would you take? I'd take Wentz. There'd be some people that take Baker. But they're about the same. You know, let's not forget that Wentz, you know, was the MVP of the league until he got hurt a few years ago. Now he's falling apart. I totally agree, and he does stupid things. But, you know, Baker Mayfield does stupid things too. So if I'm – I will say this, and this might be my bias, but if I'm a team, the only way I'm taking Baker Mayfield is if I'm desperate. That's the only way I'm taking him. I'd rather have Jameis Winston. And I know that that sounds crazy, but Jameis Winston has done a lot more in this league as far as throwing the ball down the field and doing things that he does than Baker Mayfield has. But my feeling is that his best place is Indianapolis. The place I think he's going to end up is Seattle.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I'm looking at this. But I don't have any big inside information. Now, if he goes to Seattle, he's going to have some serious wide receivers, and he better be able to prove how good he is up there.
How much different is the conversation surrounding Baker Mayfield right now if he does what everybody thought he should have and he goes ahead and gets the surgery on his shoulder, doesn't try to play through it this season, and now the last thing we remember about him is, oh, he won a playoff game the year before, took Kansas City down to the wire, and then started out the season, got hurt, and now he's been on the shelf.
Well, that's a tremendous point. I think that he's thought of a lot differently. As a matter of fact, I think that probably the Browns don't get rid of him. But, you know, he's had this attitude his whole life about being the underdog and proving people wrong. And he has done some amazing things to prove people wrong. I mean, there's no arguing that. But what he did last year was pure stupidity.
Yep.
And I think, you know, I think that unfortunately, I don't know if he has a lot of people around him that tell him what he should do and him listen. I think that's probably what it is. Because I got to tell you something. If that would have been me, my brother, my father, my mom, I mean, everybody would have been, Jim, what are you doing, man? I mean, just you're not the same. Don't hurt your stock or whatever. Go get the surgery. But I promise you that, you know, Baker Mayfield thinks he can do things that other people can't do. And he's been right a lot in his life. But this time he was wrong. So, yeah, it might have really, really hurt his career. You know, it might have. But now it's happened, so it's the way it is.
Do you think the Browns tried to do that? Meaning, tried to tell him, okay, dude, you're hurt, go get that surgery. Or it was one of those cases where the Browns didn't really trust that he was the guy moving forward, and were just kind of like, okay, if he wants to hang himself, here's the rope.
Well, that'd be another true serum thing, wouldn't it? I'd love to hear. Again, I would hope somebody with the Browns would have said it. You know, I always feel like that if you are a long-term solution and you're a big-time player,
mm-hmm.
that the organization is going to treat you with kid gloves. And
yeah.
It doesn't look like they treated him with kid gloves. So maybe even before this terrible season, they kind of thought he wasn't the guy. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But obviously, it was really stupid. And many, many people, including me, were saying way back then, hey, just get your surgery. Why don't you get better? But he didn't like it.
Yeah,
did not like it.
The difference between the way that the Cleveland handled him and Dallas handling Dak with even this year with the one game set out because your hip hurt a little bit, that to me that proves exactly what the franchise thought about each of those situations. Whether or not they're right or not, Dallas clearly views Dak as the answer, whereas Cleveland, I don't know if they ever really did, once the GM and the front office and the coach turned over this last time.
Yeah. I think you're right, man. We will see. This is going to be Baker Mayfield's last real chance, fellas. I mean, he could. I mean, if he goes to Seattle and doesn't play very well and they don't give him a contract, there could be a team that gives him a contract. I'm not saying he's done in the game. But as far as being a starter for a team that matters, this is it. I mean, this will be what it's all about here. Wherever he goes this year, he's going to be playing for his football life. So we know one thing about him. When his back is up against the wall, he usually performs. So we will see what he does. I do think it's funny that people like Skip Bayless say that, you know, free Baker, get him out of Cleveland. It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? Instead of him. It's always somebody else's fault.
I'm just curious if Watson's going to take over these commercial duties with the insurance stuff, his home. Does Baker give him the keys? And I don't know.
No, there's a lot of things they could do. There's no doubt about that. Of course, I would hope that – is that Progressive?
Yes.
No. Yeah. I would hope that Progressive would want no part of Watson, because I can't imagine that there would. Don't you think there should be people out in the, running in the streets, especially like the old Me Too people and stuff?
Yeah.
If they were to think about giving him a big old commercial,
well, shouldn't Watson be court ordered to let his neighbors know that he's, you know,
a registered sex offender? Yeah,
that's well, they're going to know that. Trust me.
Hey,
that's the difference between you and him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Spring practice starts in the state this week. Is there anything that you're going to be able to glean from what you hear about it, or are you still in wait-and-see mode, especially at Oklahoma, I think, more than OSU, wait-and-see until we actually start seeing games in the fall?
I really would like to go out and watch the quarterback play, Gabriel, a little bit. I mean, I saw him in college. I mean, when he was at South Florida, but I don't really remember at Central Florida, excuse me. But I don't really remember everything about him. So I'd like to do that. You know, spring football for me, fellas, is just kind of useless. It's not useless for some of those young kids, and it's definitely not useless when you have a new coaching staff. But just for us, it's not that big of a deal. I'm ready to see them go play, people, you know, in the fall. But, you know, I mean, think about it. I mean, they're not going to have a, you know, first-team, second-team All-American kind of guy rolling into the season like they normally do. They're not going to have one of the best offensive coordinators that's ever, I think, gone on a field, like it or not. So, I mean, it's going to be fun to watch him. You know, I think they're probably going to run the quarterback a little bit more and do some things like that. So, it'll be interesting. As far as OSU is concerned, you know, I mean, there's going to be dudes that we don't know really their names that are going to be playing, but I'm not really – all I'm concerned about is whether Spencer Sanders cannot do stupid things if he plays well. If he plays like he did against Notre Dame, fellas, they're going to be fighting for the Big 12 championship.
Is he the most impactful player for his team of anybody else in the country?
I mean, I would have to study it, but he's got to be right up there. You know, if you just look at his history, when he plays well, they play well, and when he doesn't, they don't. So it's amazing. And they better find another quarterback after him. They don't have. Do they have a scholarship quarterback?
The one coming in, Rangel. Other than that, it's Gunnar Gundy, and he's a walk-on.
That's crazy. Going into a spring football with one scholarship quarterback. I don't know if I've heard about that, unless there's been injuries. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I heard.
I thought they would have brought a portal guy in.
Well, I heard Scott Wright say this morning with the practice report when I was driving to work, they lost 13 from the portal, and they didn't get anybody back. That's a weird thing, because normally it's kind of, you know, it's free flow and both back and forth. OSU lost 13 guys and haven't gotten anybody in the portal in this offseason.
Now, you know what? I do sports talk radio every single day, and I did not know that.
I didn't either.
I thought they got a couple. That is unbelievable. They didn't get one portal guy?
Not one, according to Scott Wright this morning. That doesn't seem right, but when you think about it, though, it's been guys leaving and not guys coming.
Well, after, you know, you can still bring them in after spring football.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go through spring, if they find out that there's a position they think they're weak at, they better bring somebody in. I mean, you can't waste next year. How many years? Does Spencer Sanders going to play like 7 years? Like how?
It's so confusing on who's got what years because of the COVID and all that. I mean,
I don't have any idea who's a junior. I've never, in all my years of doing sports talk radio, I've never been so bad at figuring out what year somebody is. Are you a junior, a senior? Are you a fifth-year junior? I mean, what are you? I don't know. I've never seen, like, So that's just that's kind of crazy to me. But Spencer Sanders is the key, and then next year they're going to have to find a quarterback. So you would like to maybe have some of these youngsters. I'll bet you Gunnar Gundy's going to get beat up in spring football now. They don't hit him anymore, so it's okay. I remember one year in spring, guys, my freshman year, every quarterback was hurt against me. I ran first team, second team, and third team. And by the way, they were hitting me too. Okay, I was hurting so bad I could barely move.
What's coming up on the podcast today?
You know what's coming up? Well, let me first of all on the show. We are revealing my Lincoln Riley parody. Fellas, you're going to have to listen. Everyone needs to tune in. It is great. I mean, great. So if you're a Lincoln Riley hater or don't care or whatever, it is really funny. So that's coming up on the show. The podcast this week was really, really good. I can't remember what we talked about again. I don't know why I can't remember things anymore, fellas. I'm really, really old. But we did. Julie is amazing on this podcast. When we did this show, I was in Spain. I was just like, well, I don't know. And she goes, come on, we'll do it. So if you listen to it, I'll try to fight through it. But Julie just takes over. She's like a star. So this podcast today is a good one. Next week, fellas, we are going to have the governor and his wife for a two-part series. So we can talk to him about, and to her, about how it feels getting obliterated on TV and all the things that happened to him. Should be some pretty good stuff.
All right, man. Fantastic. We'll be listening this afternoon. I can't wait to hear the Lincoln Riley parody. Jim, thanks for joining us on a Monday morning, and have a great show. Have a good week.
All right, fellas. See ya.
See you later. That is the ultimate Jim Traber joining us on a Monday morning. I'm fascinated with... I don't know if we're going to I kind of do know that it's not going to be completely different as far as opening up practices at Oklahoma, but I have a feeling there's going to be more access granted in different ways. Maybe it's not you get to watch practice, but you know what I'm saying? I think that it won't be quite so secretive with Brent Venables at the helm of OU football, and that can only help shows like this one. To be able to have topics to talk about when people are actually kind of seeing a little bit of what's going on.
Yeah, no, he's been definitely fan friendly ever since he stepped off the plane, and I don't see that ending anytime soon. He's taken a page out of how Bob Stoops started his tenure at OU. I mean, for obvious reasons, because he was a part of that, and it's going to be pull back the curtain enough where you keep the fans satisfied and happy and. That was stuff that, Lincoln, like it or not, people didn't say it, but he was starting to alienate some of the fan base because of the stuff that he did not allow. I mean, the infamous, after practices after the Texas game, and word was he got upset because fans want to know. And I think this coaching staff as a whole is going to be more fan friendly. And it is. It helps us out, definitely. Letting us, gives us a broader opinion.
By the way, I just happened to be looking at the schedule for Labor Day weekend next week or next year.
What?
This year?
Yeah.
This year?
Yeah.
Do you know who is playing the first week of the season?
First week of the season?
Mm-hmm.
Like a big matchup?
Couple of big ones. Georgia, Oregon.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Notre Dame, Ohio State.
That's a better one.
Cincinnati, Arkansas.
Hello. Now, isn't Texas they play Alabama like
second or third week?
Third week, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Alabama, they're starting off, I can't believe they scheduled this game.
Is it a cupcake?
Utah State.
Yeah. Probably in Alabama. They're not going to play at a neutral
site.
Yeah,
it's definitely in Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize Notre Dame and Ohio State were playing.
Yeah, there's always a...
Utah, Florida, that could be fun.
Yeah, there's always a plethora of great games that weekend.
Oklahoma State starts out on that Friday or Thursday. Thursday, I believe.
What, against?
Central Michigan.
Okay.
The 31st.
Central Michigan.
That was crazy one last time.
Yeah.
Cooper Rush.
A little revenge there. Yeah.
That was a wild finish.
That was crazy.
All right. Thanks so much, Jim, for joining us. Hey, we got a kind of a special announcement tomorrow.
That's right.
I've given you clues if you've been listening during the break. Everybody have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!